Good morning. Great to have your company on the Big Sports Breakfast. What a weekend it was in sport. Here in Australia, it doesn't get too much better than this. Golden Slipper Day there at Rose Hill, 5 Group 1s, and what a fantastic result with Lady of Camelot taking it out. At the latter end of the day, a big news story, Karen McAvoy going down, and we do have an update on the star jockey who had a terrible-looking fall. Our footy codes are in full swing. Our cricket season culminated with the Sheffield Shield WA Too Good once again. The Grand Prix was firing there in Melbourne. A little bit of controversy too with two of the biggest names in the sport ultimately failing to complete the race. In the basketball, Clarkie's second favourite team, the Jack Jumpers, were absolutely brilliant and a buzzer beater that has to be seen to be believed. Everywhere you look, there were sporting highlights, controversy, talking points, and we can't wait to take you through all of those throughout the course of the morning. Laurie Daly is here, and so too, would you believe it, Michael Clark, who finally returns, the favourite son, Loz.
Yes, he's back from Pakistan. I've got a lot to ask him. He made news while he was away. There was plenty of stories written. There was plenty of things said about him, so we need to dig a little bit deeper. But you know what? It's great to be back. It's great to see his smiling face, his beautiful face. Mm. And I'm really looking forward to having you back working with me today, Michael.
Hello, and boys.
With Ben. How are
Good
you,
Good morning.
Mate?
I'm well. I'm well, thank you. I was back for Friday. I'm back in studio today, which is nice. It's nice to be home. Got to say, I watched that much sport over the weekend. It wasn't funny. And the smile is loud and proud, Loz, not only because I'm back, but, mate, what about the Tigers?
Yes.
What about the Tigers? I can't wait for Bulldog's article. Where's the headline, Bulldog? Benji, best coach of all time.
Well, you're right, because they were magnificent,
Clarkie. Brilliant, weren't they?
I only saw the highlights. I was at a party on Saturday night. But the West Tigers, to be able to beat the Sharks, who were flying high, was a remarkable performance. They won 32-6, and the Sharks had played some decent football, and I expected them to be a lot better against the Tigers, and that was the type of game that the Sharks really, in the past, have won. They've struggled against teams that they're, expected to be top eight teams, but the teams below them on the competition table were not expected to make the eight. The Sharks, that's been their bread and butter over the last couple of years. So to get there to Leichhardt Oval, where there were 16,500 people, was a tremendous result for them, and give them some hope and some excitement. Because the previous week against the Raiders, while there were glimpses, there were still aspects of their game that struggled.
Yep. For me, the Tigers were the story of the weekend, but there were multiple storylines. Even the blowout games were enthralling as the storylines unfolded. The Roosters were so dominant, but the Rabbitohs are the talking point out of that. Yeah. The Bulldogs 32-0 against the Titans, and things just seem to go from bad to worse for Gold Coast. So,
what I've seen of the Titans over the opening couple of weeks of the comp, Benny, they're now my favourites to win the wooden spoon. I know it's early to sort of put a wrap on someone like that, but what they did,
I wouldn't call it a wrap.
Against the Dragons in round one, they were very poor. Then they had to buy. Then they came back and put up a display like that. 32-0 against a Bulldogs team who were struggling to score points. They lost Tino.
Yeah, now lost their best player for the season.
Best player. Yeah. And I think without him, they are going to struggle. And not only will the Titans struggle, I reckon Queensland. I think he's arguably the best front rower in the game, Tina. I put him in the same class as Fanua, Blake, Fisher, Harris, Payne, Haas. I don't think there's a struck match between them.
Mm. Where are the Broncos at?
Injuries. That's the problem with them at the moment.
Mm. Do we know a time on Reynolds?
He could be back this weekend. Okay. But they've got the Cowboys and then they've got the Melbourne Storm coming off a bye. Melbourne played last night, obviously.
Confirmed fracture, wasn't it, for Reece Walsh?
So Reece Walsh, cheekbone fracture. Payne Haas,
what's
knee
that,
surgery.
4-6?
4-6. Yeah, Payne Haas, knee surgery, 4-6. Adam Reynolds, medial ligament. You know what a medial ligament's like. They could heal in 10, 12 days.
Yeah, but the thing about Adam Reynolds, I feel like that's going to be a little example of what this season's going to look like for him as well. Like, I think there's going to be patches where just his body at this stage, he's probably going to need a week or 2 weeks off. He's going to get that soft tissue. Like, I just feel like he's at that age now.
Yeah, you just got to manage him properly.
I think so.
He's had a lot of football.
Yeah.
And they need him. Yeah. But the thing about resting Adam Reynolds is that they'll need to win games along the way. Mm. Because if you're in a good position, you can rest people, you can manage them. But if you're struggling, lose games early in the season, all of a sudden you're chasing your tail. And that's what the Broncos weren't doing last year. The Broncos were winning games, getting themselves in a good position. Because remember the previous season, they played really well up until Origin. And then the back end of the season, they fell away. Mm. Last year, they were able to start the season really well, get wins on the board. And then through that Origin period, they were able to manage their players really well. Mm. And they got through to the grand final. But it's not the way you want to start, is losing your best players with injury.
Tell you the way you don't want to start, what the hell is going on with South Sydney? How can that team be playing that bad? Like, I understand, and I've, again, been fortunate enough to be a part of, you know, some great teams. And, yeah, you don't win everything. Mm. Sometimes you can lose. But in great teams with great players, it's nearly like you judge yourself so hard that you don't allow that to happen again. You lose once, then the next game you come out to make a statement, because that's what being a great player is about. Like, no way in the world would Shane Warne let us lose three games in a row. No chance. He would take it personally. He would take it upon himself. Glenn McGrath the same. Ricky Ponting the same. Adam Gilchrist. This South Sydney team, Latrell, Cody, I know Jack just played his first game, but there's three examples. Mate, you cannot be playing this bad with superstars in your team.
Well, I think you just summed it up there when you said play well as a team. They're not playing well as that team. Individually, there's some players there that are going okay. Some players are trying too hard. There's others that are just not connected at all. And one thing that they won't like said about them, but they're shying away from the tough work. And the tough work starts in the middle of the field. So that is all the little things that you base your game off are the boring things in the game, but you've got to do them well. So that's like being aggressive in defence and being tight in the middle of the ruck. And that's where it all stems from. And if you're getting blown apart through the middle, good luck trying to stop what's coming at you on the edges. And then when you get the ball back, if the opposition are dominating, putting the ball in the corner, you're working it off your own line. You've got no energy to attack. And for mine, they've got to go back to the simplicity of the game, which is run hard, tackle hard, and have a bit of enthusiasm and intent in everything they do.
There are a couple of people who tried to sound the alarm bells last season, Loz.
Mm.
They tried to say some things here need to be addressed, otherwise it's going to get out of control, and you can't help but think those same things have.
Well, that'll be the narrative, won't it? Because they haven't addressed, well, they might have addressed it, but it looks like they haven't addressed the issue. Now, internally, this is where you learn a lot about your footy club, because inside those four walls, if they're as strong as what they're saying they are, they'll come out the other side. But if there's fractures within that group, it's only going to get worse. And they get a great opportunity this week taking on the Bulldogs on Good Friday to say to everyone, hey, listen, yes, people on the outside are concerned, but we know exactly what we're doing, we know the path we're on, and we know how to fix it. Because there's reports going around that Jason Demetriou may only have three games to save his career at South Sydney.
Oh, my God.
Because they've got the bye in round seven. And they've got a tough draw coming up. They've got the Bulldogs. I think the Warriors are another team they have to play. So that's in the next couple of weeks before the bye. And the Sharks. So they've got the Dogs, Warriors and Sharks next three games. So if they can't win two of those, then he's under all sorts of pressure.
Can you tell me why? Like, they dropped Ilias, they dropped their halfback. They've got Jack Whiten, who's played six his whole career at the Raiders. Can you tell me, the team's under the pump, he's a senior player, why would he not come in and play in the halves with Cody Walker and take any pressure away from a new young number seven?
Yeah, they could play like that. They could, or but give, I think it
give
takes
Ilias
away
the opportunity. Yeah. Like they've made him really
the
him
scapegoat.
And yeah, they really have.
No, it's in the middle where it's all starting for South Sydney. That's where they're getting blown apart. Would I do it?
Like in the current situation where your team's under the pump, you got so surely you're putting pressure on your senior players rather than a youngster. Surely.
Yeah, no, it's a fair call. And I reckon it'd be something that they would have thought long and hard about. But there's a couple of things that I look at. I look at both left-sided players,
yep.
Cody and Jack.
Yep.
So one of them's got to switch. Jack's a running player, and Cody, while he's a good ball player, I think you take away from his game if you put him on the ball. Yeah, okay. I think he's more that second receiver, get a bit of width and go to the line. Having said that, he's not playing well himself, so he's got to pick up his performances, but they all do. All South Sydney players have to pick up their own performance. But if you put Jack to 5'8", they'd simplify their game because it wouldn't be a passing game. It'd be a run-first game because that's his strength. So they're not going to try and play around teams. They'll play through teams.
Punters panel, multi got up. And so too did the multi here.
Yes.
Now, Adam Pengilly was in charge along with Middo.
No.
Well, that's...
Geez, I've missed you, Loz.
No, mate.
Did it win?
No,
did
win.
Did your multi win, Loz?
There is no I in...
Why would he be claiming it?
There was no I in
Loz's
team.
Loz's multi, mate.
There's no I in team. And that's what I'm happy to do on this program. I share responsibility.
But you didn't
I don't want to
any.
Take all the credit.
You well, didn't take any responsibility.
Well, 100% I did. Right. So this is where you let yourself down. Because I made a couple of phone calls on Thursday. And I said, boys, I really like this multi we're putting together.
We?
Yes.
So which leg? So there were two legs. Which leg did you choose?
Well, I got
that's
a bit
leadership,
of...
isn't it?
Is 101 it leadership you, yes. is listening. You've got to be a good listener to be a good leader.
And get the best out of your team.
Yeah, you've got to give them confidence. And then you've got to support them. So once you give them confidence, once you've given them the support they need, then you bring it all together. And that's what I'm good at.
Good course, so what were the two legs, do you remember?
Yes. Gambari.
Very good. To run.
To run top four.
Love
and
it.
And CS.
Oh, you're so close.
What was it called?
Via Sistina.
Via Sistina.
Same.
To win. And J-Mac was on that horse, and J-Mac actually gave it a wrap. A massive rap on Stanley's
absolutely show. Hammered in betting.
Was it?
And won like winks.
Yep.
No, fantastic multi. And well done to anyone who followed in. And it sounds as though, from the look of the text line, plenty did, which is absolutely brilliant to see. And, yeah, we've got plenty of good racing over the course of the next few weeks to reinvest anything you managed to pick up. We've got lots of text flooding through in terms of heroes and villains. And just a reminder, that will be the discussion point throughout the course of the morning, 13:53:53, for any heroes and villains you have throughout the weekend. And 0419 767 272, the text line. Keep those texts flooding through. It's a little early for me to launch with mine, but I will give a hint away. It's going to involve a major player that probably doesn't get the plaudits he deserves over in Western Australia. Or West Australia, as they like to call themselves. A three-peat in the Sheffield
Amazing.
Shield. They have been dominant in the Marsh Cup.
Yep.
They are honestly such a formidable team over there and made an absolute mess of Tassie, who thankfully did have one bright moment across the course of the weekend, and we had the privilege
wasn't
of watching
in cricket.
No, it was in basketball. Yep. Your second favourite team,
I'm a second team
had a final second success. And
God,
what a
good.
Shot it was.
Yep.
No, it was brilliant to see. So a Hail Mary for those who missed it from Jack McVeigh with 2 seconds left on the clock gave the Tasmania Jack Jumpers the opportunity to steal that game against Melbourne United. So they have a 2-1 lead in the best of five NBL Championship Series. And that was 93-91 officially in the end. In AFL circles, well, Sydney dominating, and I don't just mean the Sydney Swans, GWS and the Swans sitting top of the table. I think the story up until this point of the season, that, and maybe Collingwood, who are now 0-3, and you're starting to wonder, right, there was talk of a premiership hangover that was a touch premature, but how many games need to fall by the wayside before we start to believe it? The other, and I know that we've got a lot of South Australian listeners out there, and I'm as ardent Crows fan as there is, I do feel as though the Crows have got off to just a below-par start to date. Gold Coast were too good week one. They've
Crows
subsequently been beaten.
Well, Crows are a myth.
Where do you think they finish?
Well, I thought they'd improve out of sight this year.
So did I.
And they kept losing close games. Well, last year they lost close games, which cost them top eight.
I think they lost six by under 10 points.
So if you're a Crows supporter, start of the year, mate...
We've lost two close games again. Yeah.
I think that comes back and bites them on the bottom again.
It more than likely will. Well, Western Bulldogs made a mess of Gold Coast the following weekend, so that certainly doesn't frank the form. And then Geelong are going to be a good team. A few sort of suggested that they would have a bounce back season again this year, and they're just one of those clubs. They're like the Sydney Swans. They never have a bad year.
Who have you got this week?
Don't know yet. I'll have a look.
Because if you start 0-3,
it makes things hard.
Yeah.
Historically, you really do struggle.
Well, I don't think anyone. Was it the stat they were talking about last week? No Premier has started 0-2.
I haven't seen that stat. They haven't started 0-2.
I think I read that last week somewhere. Don't take that as gospel.
Okay.
As you do with a lot of things I say, don't take it as gospel.
My thought on that.
I can make things up on the road.
I could be completely wrong.
I like that.
our listeners can let us know.
I'll happily admit that.
Our listeners can let us know, but I thought that stat was that a reigning Premier hadn't started.
Oh, reigning Premier.
Not that a Premier of that season hadn't started 0-2.
Well, that's probably more.
But again, right, I don't want to correct
assumption.
You.
You're close enough.
So the Crows travel to Freo. They got a trip west.
Well, they're going all right, Freo.
They are, so. That one may be a little on the difficult side as well. Great to have your company here on the Big Sports Breakfast. Laurie Daly, Michael Clark, and Ben Way. A couple of texts coming through asking, where's Mido? Fair question. He is back Wednesday, so don't worry too much. He just is taking a couple of days break. Maybe he knew Clarkie was coming back.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Well, you worked together on Friday, didn't you?
I did see him Friday, yeah.
How was Rose Hill Friday?
Very good.
Very good, yep. Was it?
Yep. It was. I think there was a bit of talk around. There was rain forecast.
Because it was a good four on Saturday. Because I was away Friday and I thought the same thing. It might have got some showers and
it blew over.
Expecting it to be.
Yeah. Got upgraded during the day and it was a beautiful day's race.
Yeah.
Great crowd out there. Yeah. And there was so much theatre. I don't know whether you guys saw the clip of Gay Waterhouse watching the running of the slipper. But you could see the vested interest in the colt, or the colts for that matter.
Yeah.
And she's cheering on Storm Boy, realises that Coleman has his measure, and you see the disappointment, only to then see, you know, Lady of Camelot burst through a gap, and she mouths, the filly, here we go, with a little fist bump, as though she always knew, you know, the filly was going to burst through. It really was great theatre. And that said, Matt Laurie, on the other side of things, he has Coleman, who, for all intents and purposes, should have won that slipper. I know that Storm Boy missed the start, but this horse sat three deep throughout, was brave as the day is long, bounced back brilliantly, and it's been one hell of a training performance. So it's a big difference. You've probably got a $10, $20, $30 million colt on your hands, or you're still looking for that Group 1 win. It's amazing the difference, half length, the neck,
so
the nose.
So Storm Boy continues on to the size.
I don't think that's a certainty.
Oh, right.
But we did hear from Adrian Bott that would be the plan. You just have to see with these youngsters how they
pull up.
Because a two-year-old season can end overnight. If they show signs that their preparation's over, you can't even consider pushing on.
Yeah.
But the run...
Was there a hard luck story out of the slipper? Well, I haven't gone back and watched
Boy,
it.
Storm Boy missed the kick.
Yeah. Yeah, but other than, say, Storm Boy, was there anything else?
No, I think Traffic Warden was probably unlucky not to run a place. I think Heyasugi was out of the race very early. They weren't off to the best of starts and then almost ran through the barrier. There was some brilliant pieces of horsemanship over the course of the weekend. Jamie Carr in the slip at Rachel King later on. Rachel King lost her irons out of the gates and was able to get around safely on Osmosis, which was truly one of the best feats you would see. There was a great line actually from Lizzie, and I have heard it previously before, but during the coverage on 7 on Saturday, and both did a brilliant job with their coverage, Sky and 7, but she was saying that it was gravity that had her, you know, kept her on the horse, but it was ability that kept her safe. And she did an amazing
Benny,
job.
Benny, you might be able to answer me this, and it might be too hard, and it might be, I don't know, special microphone effects coming through a TV, but why does it sound like Sydney had more atmosphere than the Melbourne Carnival, like at Moonee Valley on Saturday? I've noticed that over the last couple of sort of race meetings. There just seems to be more, I don't know, atmosphere or noise with the coverage than what there is with the Melbourne one.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had a huge crowd at Rose Hill, and as described in the coverage, it does have a habit of going a little bit westy late out there.
Right.
But there is also, it could well be microphone related. That depends where it is to pick up that live audio. Yeah. One,
just, you could feel the atmosphere coming through the television.
Yeah.
At Sydney Racing.
One may have the microphone, say, 100 metres up, where you've still got the general public close to the track, yeah. Whereas another might be near the winning post, where you've got the mounting yard in between. That's only a little bit of guesswork.
Yeah.
But all I can speak of is our crowds in New South Wales, and they've been absolutely brilliant. We even had a great crowd at Wednesday midweeks up at Wyong. We travelled up there for something.
But it looks
a bit different.
like everyone's there having a good time. Like, it's not just a punting crowd.
They're there to enjoy the races and
have a really good time at the races, but just mingle and mix and get around and have a bit of fun. That's what it seems like when you watch the coverage on Seven.
I will go through a couple of the headlines. One such headline on the Daily Telegraph refers to the Parramatta Eels up against the Seagulls, and that is one controversy that we haven't touched on just yet. Did you happen to see the incident, and more importantly, the call? Because in my opinion, the call was as interesting as the decision itself.
Oh, look, when it goes to the bunker, they're just looking at it in black and white.
Yeah. And that's it was black and white.
That's all they look at. They look at a guy, whether he is a lead runner and stops in the line. If you stop in the line, if you stop before the line, or you go through the line and you don't make contact, play on. But once you stop in the line and you impede the man coming across to tie up that space where the man is about to run through, then they deem that as a obstruction every day of the week. Now, I don't agree with it at times, because I think, was it Moretti? Was he the Parramatta guy that pulled up on it? Or I thought he pulled up on his run.
Yeah.
I thought he was buggered.
He looked like he was cooked.
Yeah.
He was just
fatigued. He wasn't getting there.
Yeah.
But he saw an opportunity.
Most definitely he did.
And he made the most of that opportunity.
But Jake shouldn't have stopped there.
Yeah. No.
That's exactly what Greg Alexander said in the commentary.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Exactly what you just said. Yeah. He said, look, I don't necessarily agree with the rule, but if you go on what the rule is, Jake stops in the line.
Once you're sending it to a bunker,
yeah,
they just look at it from a technical point of view and the rules point of view, and he is. One of the key things they tell you is don't stop in the line.
It's a bullshit penalty, though.
Yeah.
It's absolute garbage.
He wasn't going to stop Tom.
No chance. He nearly used Tom to stop him falling over because he was so tired.
Yeah.
He was fatigued. Yeah. And he had enough time to even push off Tom and get around him.
Yeah.
But he was just cooked and he just sort of leant on him.
Mate, he wasn't getting there. He wasn't getting there. So I understand why people are disappointed and Manly fans are frustrated. But for me, watching that straight away when I saw it, I went, oh, this won't be a try.
But even that, take nothing away from Parra. They were brilliant.
Yeah, they were.
I thought they were absolutely brilliant against a team that's in full of confidence and in great form. Yeah. I reckon Parra, they play brilliant.